This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
You think my name carries any weight with any of these schools?
Your dad hosts morning radio in New York. Let's get him in here.
No.
How about your dad hosts with the former number one draft pick of the Islanders? You think that does anything?
Probably not.
You know what? I was going to take it further. Because I'm a kind soul, I'm not going to take it.
Was it about stealing money? Yeah, it was. Of course it was.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
Your mind is set there. Doesn't mean my mind is set there.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Give me all your money.
On 98.7 ESPN. Say my name,
no one is around you. Give me all your money. All right, this is a big 9 o'clock hour. DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Think about what you have in this hour, would you? Just take a moment and think about the magnitude of this hour coming up.
Yeah, but I think about the magnitude of the 4 hours we have every day is the reason why I get up.
Right, and I feel the same way, but we've already done three, but this fourth hour is big stuff. We're going to have stuff you missed at 9:15 and a chance to qualify for the gorgeous Ford Bronco and get VIP access to the Beach Bash on June 30th at about 9:30.
Okay.
That's a lot in an hour.
Yeah, well, no, but don't, I mean, do not you, don't.
Do not you dare?
That's what I was going to say, but I decided to bring it back. Don't you dare. Leave out Raymond's 3 stars.
I would never.
Dare you. His plays of the week on Friday were amazing.
Impeccable. Chef's kiss to the 3 star, to the plays of the week on Friday. I agree.
Raymond, I'm going to need Dave, give me all your money for Thursday too, please. Thanks.
Give me all your money! Don't you ever just get down on your knees and thank God for me?
No, I don't have to get down on my knees. I can barely get down on my knees. But yeah, I mean, there are times I wake up and go, you know what?
Thank God for him.
I'm very lucky to have Dave as my partner.
All right. Also, before we get into the Mets and Yankees, I believe I'm going to bring in a fruit tomorrow, which needs slicing.
Okay. Knife it is.
This portion of the show, driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, in Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. I think it's fair to say that both of the Mets and the Yankees have righted the ship. Right? You feel that that's fair to say now?
I think there's one thing that should be said and can be said is that I single-handedly resurrected the Mets season.
Oh, for God's sakes. You didn't resurrect the Mets season. By going to a game and leaving early, you believe you resurrected the Mets season.
Well, I didn't just go to the game. It's not like I just willy-nilly bought some tickets and showed up. I made a promise to the people over at the Mets. I show up, we win. I mean, I don't know how you can ignore that.
You showed up, they won. They won when you left.
But they won.
But all of the damage happened when you left.
No.
The Alvarez home run when you left. The Alonso home run when you left.
Well, if Milo hadn't done so much damage, we could have stayed. But he did too much damage, so we were forced to leave.
But you weren't even there for the exciting moments of the game.
You're missing the point.
Clearly.
Yeah, you're missing the point. I was there for 8 full innings, promised to win. They won. Do not discredit my participation in this winning streak, please.
Okay. So are you going to guarantee a win on June the 1st during the tailgate?
I probably will.
Oh.
I'm going to keep my streak
alive.
You're
swinging it now, huh?
Oh, I'm going to keep my streak alive, aren't I? What happened last time we had a tailgate?
They scored like 9 in the first.
Yeah, we demolished Miami.
All right, so the Mets are going to win tomorrow night.
I won't be at the game tomorrow night.
So then they're not going to.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you weren't at any of the games after the game on Wednesday.
But I left my sheer presence in the first game. I left. They're not playing at Citi Field. They're at Wrigley.
So your presence at Citi Field is changed. On the road, there's little, if anything, you can do.
Yeah, unless for some reason they want to fly me out to Chicago and we can go to a game at Wrigley, then maybe there's a chance. I was feeling good going in. Against all odds, I felt good going in. I felt like I had this positive, just these positive vibes.
Right.
And they would, once I stepped into the building, they would kind of just permeate Citi Field.
So have the Mets now, maybe under your direction, have they righted the ship? Are the Mets fine? Scherzer back, and I know he's always an ailment, but he pitched really well yesterday. Verlander was awesome. Senga's been good, right? Have the Mets righted the ship? Are we okay now?
Yeah, I think we're okay. Like, I was never, I mean, you've asked me this question probably, I don't know how many times over the last couple weeks. I mean, I still have some kind of concern about Scherzer, but I don't think that concern is, unless he goes back on the IL or something, is going to be alleviated till later on in the season. So I'll take the six.
So the concern with Scherzer is just that there's always going to be something hanging over his head.
Right, and then it's just not going to be, I mean, it's just not going to ever be right. Like it was, you name it. Like, yesterday was the callus that split open that we had to hear about, and how it's like a basketball player with a sprained playing with a sprained ankle. And he's fighting through this and that and everything else.
And he said
else.
It was like, bothering him on every single pitch.
Right. Like, we know it. You're a warrior. We get it. I just want him to be right. I want him to be healthy. I want him to be at his best. Because if he's at his best, we have a chance. Because Verlander gave you 8 great innings.
Oh, he was awesome.
So, like, you're finally seeing this team have fun again. You know, Lindor calling them the baby Mets. Like, they have some juice right now. And it did not look good for a while. And now they're back to being more what we saw. They resemble the team more now that early on in the season, this did not look like the team that we loved last year.
Well, they were dead. Like, offensively, they were dead.
But it wasn't even that, though. It was they were dead offensively, but it was like they weren't. Like, all the things we talked about last year, like the routine play, like they were buttoned up, right? Like, I mean, it was you know, Buck rubbing off on these guys. Like, fundamentally, they were sound. And that they haven't, and maybe that's just because of the losing and the not hitting, that it kind of, it bleeds into the rest of your game. But this team was built to have the top two guys pitch really well and be studs. And then, you know, your lineup to be a relentless lineup that, you know, is carried by the guys up top. Those guys being, you know, Lindor, Alonso, hopefully Marte's now, you know, getting back to being Marte like we saw last year. But
how great,
yeah, you won 5 in a row.
How great was that hit and run last night with Lindor? I love that.
Well, I think we all love that.
I know, but it's just like, you know what? When you're aggressive, good things seem to happen, and they were aggressive, and it's the check swing, and it's a base hit, and he goes to third on it, a sack fly from McNeil, and you get out of that with a win. It's just a good day of baseball. I mean, again, you wake up this morning, and the Mets have not been good this season, and they're fine. And I think that kind of has to give you a little bit of hope.
Yeah, but didn't we always think they, I mean, I don't know.
I was at the point where I was losing hope.
No, yeah, but hope for what? Hope for winning the division, hope for being a playoff team.
I was on the verge of thinking this team was going to fall out of it.
Yeah, see, I don't know about that, man. You start looking at the teams that are competing for those wild cards, especially now with how the playoffs are set up. I mean, there aren't a lot of teams that you look at and say the Mets aren't or shouldn't be better than those teams.
Shouldn't be and aren't are two different things, though.
Well, I know, but baseball at some point, unless you're dealing with a bunch of injuries, and for the most part with their lineup, they haven't been dealing with injuries, is that eventually, during the course of 162, I mean, you are what you are.
The cream rises.
Yeah, you end up being who you usually are. And we know Pete is great, and we know Lindor is really good, and we know, like, we know guys are good. The only question really is, you know, Verlander came out of the gate with the injury, which freaked everybody out. And then Scherzer had the injuries on top of the sticky stuff and the 10-game suspension and everything else with that. And you weren't hitting. Guys were underperforming. But as bad as it's been, and we're talking, I mean, Mets fans calling, you know, panicked, going to fire Buck. You look up today, I mean, you're a couple games over 500. You're only 5 behind the Braves.
Right. And you're a wild card team. It's been bad. I mean, let's be fair. For what the Mets have been in the first, what are they, 45 games in, 46 games in?
Yeah, the Mets are 25-23.
All right, so 48 games in. It's been a bad run of 48 games, and all that being said, they're still fine, which is a nice spot to be in.
Right, the pitching hasn't been what you thought it was going to be, right? I mean, and the hitting, and the guys just, I mean, up and down the lineup haven't done what you've expected for the most part. Guys have, I mean, Pete with the home runs and everything else, but like they needed to show you some sign of life.
How many do you think this guy's going to hit this year? All right, I'm going to give you an over-under. Ooh. Pete Alonso, 53 home runs over-under.
Oh, 53. That's a lot of home runs.
It is. He's got 17 in less than 2 months.
I would say Pete is going. Wouldn't you have to take the under of 53?
I don't know. I mean, he's on verge for what? For over 53. He's on pace.
Well, the most he's hitting the season is what, 53?
53, rookie year, right?
Rookie season of 53. Yeah. So if I had to put money on it, I would probably take, if I was putting my own money on it, I would probably take the under.
You wouldn't feel great about it, though.
I would feel terrible about it.
You know, but I'm saying, like, you wouldn't feel confident that he's not going to hit 53 or more.
At this pace, no. No, I would. I mean, I wouldn't like the bet at all. But I mean, I'd have a hard time. 53 is probably a good place to put it. What would you say if I get a large sum of money over or under? You're the gambling expert.
Okay. See, you can't answer this question for me. Are you going to guarantee me health?
Yeah, I'll guarantee you health.
I'd go over.
Go over 53.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the guy has prodigious power. Even yesterday. Like, he just missed two or three times.
And he gets, dude, he gets so fired up in the dugout.
Oh, I love him. I don't know how you couldn't love him. And I know
the whole love it.
LFGM rubs some people the wrong way. How could you not love this guy? He plays with such an energy and such an excitement. And not even about himself, right? I mean, like, when other guys do well, he's the first guy on the top of the dugout, top step. It's just he loves baseball. He loves being a Met.
Loves being a Met. He made a great defensive play the other night, too. That diving play to his right.
That was a
yeah,
nice play.
He just loves. He's like a big, goofy, lovable, wants everyone to have fun and smash baseballs kind of guy.
That's right. That's exactly what he is. But you know what? He's our guy, and he's hard
but
not to like.
Isn't that what was missing? And I get it. It's tough to be like that when you're losing all the time. But like, I remember having conversations last year about the Yankees and the Mets and the big difference, right? Like, the Yankees have this, like, you know, never too high, never too low, business as usual kind of attitude. And then you look at the Mets last year, and I know everything went their way last year, but still, like, the way they would celebrate, the way they would have fun, everyone's laughing, having a good time. That wasn't the team that we saw at the beginning of the season.
No, not at all. RJ did the math because he's like a Johns Hopkins, you know, MIT kind of mathematician. 58 home runs he's on pace for.
58.
Right now. How excited would you get if he had a chance to compete with the Judge record?
Oh, it'd be amazing.
That would matter to you?
Yeah, it was cool the first time when he chased it as a rookie. When he chased it down.
He's got so much power.
Dude, he's built to hit home runs.
Yeah, he really is. It's not even a home run hitter's park, and he hits home runs with ease.
I don't think it matters where he plays.
No, it does. Him and Judge, they can hit home runs anywhere. Let's go to Lou in Manalapan. Lou, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Hey, fellas. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets, figuring it out.
We are figuring it out, and I think it's on the backs of these kids. You know, there's excitement, obviously, when you know, Batty's, you know, hitting opposite field home runs. Alvarez has a sweet stroke, and Alonso is there to lead. And it's positive because these are all guys we produce. You know, one thing I want to see the Mets do before I you know, think they could, you know, make a playoff push and, you know, chase a pennant is we got to get rid of Vogelbach, obviously, and Ronnie Mauricio needs to come up. Bring all of them up. If they're, you know, if one guy's down, you know, I just feel like, you know, he might spark the team and bring them to that next level. The guy looked like friggin' Daryl Strawberry all, you know, spring training, so.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and Lou, we appreciate the phone call. I know how excited you are. It's just how many guys, like, if you're a team that envisions themselves as a World Series team, like, how many young guys?
It's a fair point.
Are going to be up and down your lineup?
It's a fair point, but do you envision a guy like Daniel Vogelbach as a key piece of a team that's going
to
win?
No,
the
but I don't think he needs to be. I don't think he needs to be now, though. Like, I got no problem DH and Vientos.
Well, that's my point. Is if
or
if
have
you,
Vientos play third and Beatty DH or whatever,
okay.
However you want to do it.
Okay, and then if you moved on from Vogelbach, you could bring up Mauricio.
Listen, Mauricio's doing exactly what you need him to do to put as much pressure as possible on them to call him up. Right? I mean, it's
I don't know what more he can do.
Well, I don't know what Buck's appetite is for the young guys. I don't know if it's Buck.
Even if it's not your way, sometimes you have to go in an uncomfortable situation. Vientos has been good. Beatty's been very good. Alvarez, who was not good, has been much better of late. These guys are all producing.
Right, getting big hits. I mean, Alvarez had a big hit in that first game against Cleveland on Friday.
So whether you like, and that's on the heels of the home run against the Rays in the game that somebody left early.
Yeah. Yeah, but
so these guys are all producing. So whether you like it or not, sometimes you have to go into uncomfortable territory when you're a manager or a coach.
I get what you're saying. Where's he playing, though? Where's Mauricio playing?
I don't know.
Okay. McNeil's playing second, unless you want to move McNeil to left field and have Mauricio play second.
I would have zero problem with that. Do I need to see Canna every day?
Probably not, no.
All right. So you know what? I mean, McNeil's a serviceable left fielder. Put McNeil to left. Put Mauricio at second. DH either Beatty or Vientos, and then put the other one at third.
You're talking about, I mean, what is that? You got Beatty, Alvarez, Vientos, and Mauricio. You're talking 4 or 9.
Okay.
They're all rookies.
All right.
All right. Yeah, all sounds good.
They've been good, though.
Yeah, they've been good because they're better than what you have. I mean, it's about not having holes in your lineup, and those guys are better options than you have. And again, I don't know what they're going to do with the deadline. Can you find better options at the deadline?
Maybe you can. I'm not saying this. Is Alvarez worthy of being here? Yes. Right? You agree with that?
I agree with that.
Is Beatty worthy of being here and playing? Yes. Right? Is Vientos worthy of being here and playing? It feels like yes, right?
Probably, compared to what you have.
Okay. So let me see what Mauricio is. If any of these guys falter, you can always send them down. You don't have to keep them here. But let me at least see what I have.
Yeah,
the
but
first
you also
three
have
guys
to,
have worked out. Why not try the fourth?
But you also have to do the gymnastics of your roster, too. Like, that's why it was mentioned during the broadcast that when Nito and Narvaez are back, the odd man out's the one that has options.
No, you can't.
I'm just saying. Well, I mean, that's what happens, too. Like, I mean, Guillerme had options, so they sent him down. Like, you're also doing roster gymnastics, too.
If Alvarez continues to play like he plays... You cannot send him down. You can't do it.
No, Alvarez is the catcher as far as I'm concerned.
I totally agree with you. And not only that, he's gotten better. He looked overwhelmed. No longer does he look overwhelmed. Like, in a big spot, in fact, I feel kind of good about having Alvarez up now.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's the catcher, and I think Beatty's the third baseman. I just think, in my experience as a professional athlete, there is the thought that if you're a championship-caliber team, you can't be overly reliant on rookies. Like, teams that win championships, yes, you'll have the right influx of young players, but for the most part, it's veteran guys. It's experienced guys that lead you through it.
I don't disagree with you, but would I rather see these guys than Canna and Vogel back right
now?
No,
I don't disagree, but I'm just saying, if you're a team that spent $350 million to try to win a World Series, it's why... A lot of people would point to the Devils and say they didn't make it all the way through is because there's a level of inexperience that ends up showing up during the postseason. So do you want four of your starting nine to be rookies?
Unless I go out and make moves where I bring in pieces from outside the organization, I'm not opposed to having four of my starting nine of young guys that are rookies. I'm not.
Okay, well, I don't love your chances of winning a World Series then.
Well, I don't love your chances of winning World Series with Mark Canna and Daniel Vogel back in your lineup.
Okay, then push comes to shove, you need to find better options. And right now, the young guys are better options. Are they better options at the deadline?
Or are you going to consider
even trading these guys because you're trying to do two things at once?
I think this is what Billy Epler is going to get paid for, and I don't know that I have much, if any, confidence in him.
Because we trust him.
No, I don't trust him.
I want to know who's most responsible for the hesitancy, though. Like, with that whole Vientos debacle where he gets that huge hit, gets that huge home run, then doesn't play the next day.
It's got to be Buck, no? You think Billy Epler is telling him this is the lineup I want?
No, not the lineup, but I know, like, there are times, though, when if a GM makes a move, like, GM wants that, GM doesn't want to look stupid, too. Like, I went and made moves, I'm taking a bunch of heat because of it, and now, like, Vogelback was his move. Like, I just don't, like... When you break down a situation like this, right? And I know Buck is loyal to the veteran guys, but he should have no allegiance to Daniel Vogelback. The only one that would have any allegiance, I don't know if that's the right word to use.
Yeah, that's right.
or skin in the game would be Billy Epler because he traded for him.
I know, but any good person at their, I would think, smart person at their job would look and say, okay, is Vogelback the better option, or is, you know, Phil, is Beatty or Vientos, whoever, the better option?
Well, I know, but you keep saying that, but what the hell was Cashman doing with frickin' Aaron Hicks all the time?
I think he screwed up.
Right, trying to prove to people that it wasn't a bad idea.
I get it. I'm not saying they don't do it. I'm saying anyone that's real a high level at their job will admit their mistake and move on from it instead of playing this game of getting Vogel back in the lineup every other day.
Right.
Every day.
But, I mean, there's been plenty of examples of that not happening.
You're not
and
wrong.
I think Aaron Hicks is probably a good example until they finally decided now in the midst of the best he's
played. It's just awesome. You're the best you've been, and now goodbye. All right. Raymond, it's your time.
Now.
See ya!
The sh** you missed.
Hi there.
Hi, Ray.
Well, you guys kind of touched on it. Well, a little bit more than touched. The Mets sweep the Guardians. Nice doubleheader win. The Yankees also swept the team from Ohio this weekend and designated, as you said, Aaron Hicks in the process. Had 2 years left on 7 years, $70 million contract signed through in 2019. But that's how life goes. The Yankees have won 6 of 7 and 14 of 19, 9 games over 500. That's a season high. Much more manageable, 5.5 games back of the Orioles. And the next opponent tomorrow, I'm sorry, they're 5.5 pack of the Rays.
Five point five.
Yeah, this is how it's written down. That's how I went. 5.5 games back of the Rays, 3 back of the Orioles. They start with the Orioles tomorrow. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, that's your remedy. And because you're so busy, I'm not going to give you any slack.
Yeah, but you should. You would under normal
or
circumstances.
Slack, I should say. Slack, I will.
Whichever. There you go.
Okay.
The Heat are up 3-0 in their series after a 128-102 win in Game 3 over the Celtics. Gabe Vincent, 29 points for Miami, and they can eliminate the Celtics with a sweep tomorrow night down in Miami. The Nuggets can sweep the Lakers tonight out in L.A. The Lakers minus 53 with D'Angelo Russell on the court versus Denver. Why is that important? Well, Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective says that he sees the Lakers falling down 3-0 in the conference finals as increasing the chances of them making a Kyrie Irving pursuit.
Wow.
Kyrie, LeBron back together.
Oh, God.
Well, he wanted it. He was trying to get himself to L.A. anyway.
Looks like it could happen not much faster.
Ugh.
Especially if the Lakers are eliminated.
Ugh.
Tonight.
That will go terribly because you can see that LeBron is not the same player. And now you're going to bring Kyrie. That'll be a mess.
Well, but that's the thing, though. He's not the same player. Anthony Davis is either hurt or taking a game off mentally. So they need someone. I mean, what's the better option there? He's a better option than D'Angelo Russell right now.
Oh, I would agree with that. Now, are you going to lose Austin Reeves in the process?
No, he said you could. No.
He's restricted, right?
No, Wendy said there was a way to keep Reeves and sign Kyrie.
Oh, I didn't think he was restricted. I didn't realize that.
I'm not sure about that, but I thought that he might have been.
I don't think he is.
That's tough. Rick.
Yes.
Hockey. Let's do that hockey.
How about Chandler Stephenson? OT winner for Vegas.
Yeah, how about the Ryan Suter turnover behind the net and then not paying attention to the front of the net and the game-tying goal?
Oh, dear.
That's great.
Vegas is up 2-0 in the Western Conference in the East. The Matthew Tkachuk trade working out well for the Florida Panthers. He scored the OT winner in that one.
How gorgeous was that overtime goal, by the way?
Their overtime goal was gorgeous.
I mean, it's like though that goal you knew was going to be a goal like 3 seconds before they put it in the net.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what's crazy, though. It's just, and I don't know, it's probably just coincidence, but it feels like it happens a lot. Like how similar the two Florida teams in the playoffs are. Like Florida barely... Florida had Alex Lyon, who probably no one's ever heard of, like, drag them into the playoffs. They get into the playoffs. They upset Boston. Tkachuk, who reminds everyone a lot of, like, if you want to make a basketball comparison about, like, dragging his teammates into the fight, a lot like Jimmy Butler. They're playing better than they played all season long. All of a sudden, Sergei Bobrovsky is back to being like the Vezina level goalie that he was. Like the guy makes $10 million a year, was replaced by Alex Lyon.
They win the President's Trophy last year?
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah,
yeah. They traded a guy who was over 100, Huberto and Uyghur to Calgary, and Calgary they got their coach fired, and now Tkachuk has. Dude, it was to the point where Matthew Tkachuk's dad, Keith, who we call Walt, went in the paper and called him out. this team is soft. They're getting everything that they deserve. Like when one of your best players' dad calls you out, like,
that's not good. Yeah,
not great,
not ideal. Brooks Koepka wins the PGA Championship at Oak Hill for his. Did I say Brooks?
I think so.
Brooks Koepka.
I'm going to need that for Thursday. Thanks.
You got it. it's the first time a LIV golfer.
A voracious reader.
Won a major. Also of note, Rick, you pointed this out.
Michael Block. You should see him read the greens. Crazy.
Michael Block aced the par 3, 151 yard, 15th hole on Sunday.
Yep. Jarred it.
How about that?
It was funny, after the round, he gave Koepka a hug as Koepka was coming off the course. And Koepka said to him, I heard you're buying drinks tonight. Because that's what's supposed to happen. If you make a hole in one, you're supposed to buy everyone drinks.
How about if you win a major? That wouldn't be drinks?
You should buy everyone everything. How about when you sign for you get $100 million from LIV?
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
In the horse racing, National Treasure wins the Preakness to give Bob Baffert his 8th win in the Preakness.
One of his horses died earlier in the day, too.
Oh, no.
I feel like that's...
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot lately. Like too much lately.
Right.
Quite a bit. Did you guys get check out Breanna Stewart's home debut?
She dropped 45 and 3/4.
How about that? That's a franchise record to go along with 12 rebounds as the New York Liberty beat Indiana 90-73.
The Indiana Lynx?
I think they're the Fever.
Oh.
No, Indiana Lynx. No.
I don't know.
I think Minnesota's the Lynx.
Minnesota Lynx.
Why are they the Lynx in Minnesota?
I think it ties into the Timberwolves.
I played with a guy who had a pet Lynx.
Oh, that seems
smart. What is
that,
like a big scary cat?
And then it attacked his daughter, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And sadly, Jim Brown died at the age of 87. Hall of Famer, led the NFL in rushing 8 of his 9 seasons and led the league in touchdowns 5 times. He was selected to 9 consecutive Pro Bowls, 3-time MVP, and the only non-QB in NFL history to win the award 3 times.
Unbelievable player. And not only that. Like
athlete.
Yeah, athlete too. I mean, he's considered to be the greatest lacrosse player in the history of the game as well.
I didn't realize how close him and Jeremy Schapp were. Not Jeremy Schapp.
He must have been really friendly with Dick Schapp then, I imagine.
No, he's dead. No, not Jeremy, Dick, yeah.
Right. He was very, very close with Dick Schapp.
Yeah, I guess Dick Schapp tried to recruit him to the same school as him for lacrosse.
And then you know he went to Manhasset High School, right?
Yeah, he's a Long Island guy.
Yeah, Long Island guy up to Syracuse, obviously the number 44. And yeah, I mean, he was very big in a lot of social issues and just a real deep, interesting, and not that he wasn't without a flaw. He did have flaw, but a real interesting guy. And 87 years old, quite the life for Jimmy.
Good actor, too.
Yeah, was in The Dirty Dozen. Very good actor. Retired from football to get into acting.
Greatest running back of all time. Yes, that's it for me.
That's it for you? You're done?
Well done, Raymond.
Done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All you have to do is line up 888-987-ESPN. Have you seen the question?
I have seen the question.
It's not a layup question.
Not a layup question, but it's good. I mean, this is a listener retention question.
It's exactly what it is. So, Raymond, when you have a couple of them lined up ready to go, you'll tell me, and we'll get to the callers. By the way, people, 888-987-ESPN. Not 800-919-3776. That's the number to talk to us, to chat baseball or basketball or hockey with us. All right? 888-987-ESPN. What are you doing? What is happening, Raymond? You're putting people on the air. Let's take your time with this,
Raymond. If Brooks Koepka calls, put him on. I want him right through.
He's very smart, Brooks Koepka.
Very smart.
He hits the books.
He hits the books, Koepka. All right. So Yankees. I mean, it's all happening for the Yankees now. You get Severino back. You get rid of Aaron Hicks. You're sweeping away the Cincinnati Reds. It's nirvana for Yankee fans.
Yeah, great road trip. I mean, 6-1 road trip. You took care of business in Toronto, and everyone hates Toronto. And then, I mean, 14-5 in your last 19 games. You scored a ton of runs. Over those 19 games, almost 6 runs a game. Right now, you lead Major League Baseball in home runs in May. Severino looked good. Severino looked really good.
Really good. The question is he really, and I don't know that we know the answer, really good, or is it Cincinnati good?
Well, I think it could be. Listen, he's just back, right? I mean, it's 75 pitches. His velocity was there. It could be part of it, but I think the biggest thing for him is just, is he back for good, period? Like, is this
well,
it?
Was
that
know.
His IL stint, and now he's back?
I think it's going to be similar to the way you feel about Max Scherzer, where every time you're like, oh, God, is this going to be the time that the blister opens up or the elbow hurts or the shoulder or the scapula or something? I think it's going to be the same every single time Severino takes the mound.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong, but it's, I mean, he teases you with how good he can be and how good this, I mean, how good this rotation can be once Rodon is back. I mean, it's a, like, you got Cole at the top of this thing,
right,
with Rodon, Seve, and Nestor, and then Herman as your fifth starter. I mean,
that's good.
That's pretty good.
That's as really good.
As it gets. And then on top of that, your bullpen, they got the best ERA in baseball in there. I mean, the last 4 games, I mean, you're talking about 17 1/3 and 5 hits.
The amazing thing to me is the Yankees can just, like, find a guy, Ryan Weber, and they throw him in there and he pitches well.
Yeah, they do fine with the bullpen. It's actually finding,
it's the everyday player that they struggle finding.
Well, yeah, or drafting and developing, like, the young starting pitcher. Because most of those guys they try end up in their bullpen.
But I think you'd be real excited right now.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't be. I mean, they're doing everything you asked. I mean, you've been pounding the desk to get rid of Aaron Hicks for how long?
Well, now he's gone.
Now he's gone. Aaron Judge is back to being the best player in baseball, or right there, him and Otani.
Right. Rizzo has been terrific. I mean, listen, the Yankees, they're a good baseball team. They're rolling along. It's amazing to think that people were that freaked out early on in the season about the Yankees.
Well, Brian Cashman said, don't give up on us.
Stop. Come on. It's not mocking that, though.
Of course we're mocking that. No one gave up on them.
No, nobody gave up on them. Remember, even when things were bad, they were like a half game out of the wild card.
Yeah. I mean, they're in a good division. Tampa's a good team. Again, I mean, when you put yourself in the conversation every year for a team that's goal is to win a World Series, and you haven't been back to a World Series, and you're always in the playoffs, I mean, it's tough to get yourself too worked up during the regular season or overreact, because, you know, ultimately I think we all felt like this was going to be, or I did, and I know you did, a playoff team.
Never wavered on that.
Right. And then this team will be judged at what happens in the postseason.
As they should be every season.
So do you have enough pieces? Do you like the composition of the team now? And then whatever they decide that they want to add, are you going to get Stanton back? You're going to get Donaldson back? Like, do you have the versatility in this lineup, you think, that's going to be good enough to
get it done? I think the lineup
is
different than it's been in years past. There's more athleticism. There's more guys that can steal bases. Yes. You know what? Between Bader and Volpe, I think your lineup is more attractive than it's been in the past, where it's just one guy gets on, next guy smashes, big home run, and that's the way you score 2 runs.
Right. Well, they have the opportunity to do that. I mean, the home runs are still there. I mean, in those 19 games, you've had 15 games, you've hit 2+ home runs. So the home runs are still there. When those dry up, I mean, will they find other ways? Can Aaron Judge be this version of himself in the postseason?
Well, we'll see. And in the postseason, when you're facing, you know, the elite pitchers of Major League Baseball, are you going to put up 4, 5, 6 runs a game? All right? These are the questions that you've had for the last 14 years.
Yeah, and right now, I'm with you. I think they have, and again, I mean, that's the caveat that everyone has to be healthy or stay healthy. I mean, when you add Stanton to this lineup, and then, I mean, I'll say Donaldson, but I know Yankees fans aren't in love with Donaldson. But, I mean, you look at this lineup with Stanton in it. It's
scary.
It's a really good lineup.
Yep. It becomes much better. Remember what they were starting a couple weeks ago, like 5-9? You're like, ooh, God. And now you look at it, it's very different.
Yeah, it's very different. And on top of that, I mean, it's just when you have Aaron Judge playing at this level, man.
I don't know why anybody pitches to him. I said it the other day. I stand by it. I would never pitch to him.
Any of these guys, though, what are you doing pitching to? I mean, like Ohtani the other day. Like, what are you doing pitching to him, too? I get Trout's there, but.
I would never, ever. All right, you ready for the contest, the giveaway? This is big.
This is big.
All right, let's go systematically right down the line.
Today's All-American Ford Trivia.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that nice open. I'm sorry. Let's start out with Trevor in Jamaica. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning.
You ready to go?
Of course, man.
All right. I hope you've been listening to the entirety of the show. Earlier in the show, I, Dave, referred to my hands as what?
Refer to your hands as, oh, man.
Oh, no.
It wasn't his girlfriend.
I referred to my hands as what? 3 seconds, Trev.
You got me there, man. I don't know.
Two, one. And give him the gong. All right. What is this?
It's not Julio. It's a hard J.
What? So his name is Julio?
That's what he said.
All right. Julio in Englewood. Julio, good morning.
Come on, guys. Good morning. We've been through this already. It's Julio.
All right. I don't remember this, but that's fine. Earlier in the show, I referred to my hands as what?
I don't know. Alligator arms?
No.
He does not pay. That's right. That's true, though.
No, not alligator arms.
He is tight with the wallet.
That's not true. I brought you guys a beautiful meal. Gorgeous meal at Carmine's. Let's go to Lou in Jersey. Lou, earlier in the show, Dave referred to his hands as what?
It was wavily something. I can't remember. I remember it was on the open. You guys came back from the break.
Waverly something.
Hands.
No, it was not. Unfortunately, it was not Waverly anything. Oh, boy. Apparently, RJ has come up with a question that is flummoxing the masses. It was said earlier in the show. Can I give any hints? I don't want to break any contractual rules. Can I give a hint?
Nope.
No? All right. Let's go to Tony in Jersey. Tony, earlier in the show, I referred to my hands as what?
I have no idea. I'm just going to say tool, personal tool.
Personal tool.
Yeah.
No.
It's about right.
What happens now?
I think we have to keep going.
We just roll through?
I mean, what other options do we have?
I don't know. Joe in Jersey. Joe, earlier in the show, I referred to my hands as what?
Lethal weapons.
Oh, no. No, no, no. We trudge along. Oh. We trudge to Roger in Jersey. Roger, good morning.
Good morning.
Earlier in the show, Roger, earlier in the show, I referred to my hands as what?
As visual weapons.
Visual weapons. The visual weapons is what they are.
Yes.
Yes. Roger, congratulations.
Yes, sir.
We will see you on June the 30th, Roger.
Can I stump Rothenberg now?
What about stump?
At the event. At the event.
No, that's Wednesday. Maybe we'll even do a stump Rothenberg at the beach bash.
No, I got a good one for him.
No, yeah. Not today. Right. Wednesday,
call back. Wednesday, Roger.
Wednesday, call back. 7:45, Roger. Thank you.
You're the big winner today.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm happy for Roger. Congratulations. You have a chance to win the gorgeous Ford Bronco, and you get VIP access at the beach bash.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
When you hear this song, what do you think of?
Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony has just announced his retirement from the NBA. He did speak. He gave kind of a goodbye message on social media. We are getting that ready. We'll play it for you in just a couple moments. Let me read you this quickly. Carmelo is retired from the NBA, ending his 19-year career as the league's ninth all-time leading scorer. Anthony announced his retirement Monday, that's today, obviously, saying in a social media video that, quote, the time has come for me to say goodbye. He turns 39 next week. 10-time All-Star. Scored 28,289 points over parts of 19 seasons with six different clubs. He did not play this past season and last played with the Lakers in 21-22. So a clear Hall of Famer, 19 years, says goodbye to the NBA.
Yeah, it was probably time.
I think so.
It was probably time. I mean, he's going to be 39 years old. I mean, this feels like, I mean, if he wanted to play this year and still couldn't get a job, that the writing was pretty much on the wall, that he was most likely going to be done.
You remember Carmelo Anthony as a Nugget?
Nick.
Really?
Yeah, I remember him as a Nick. Yeah.
I'm surprised by that.
Why?
I think of him as a Nugget.
Okay. Well, you have an affinity for the Nuggets. We all know this.
No, it's not my affinity for the Nuggets. I just think that he was a better player and played. He must have played longer with the Nuggets, no?
Yeah, but I mean, I remember him just selfishly. I remember him as a Nick. I know he played for the Nuggets and was great as a Nugget.
But that's because you're a New Yorker and you do sports radio in New York that you remember him as a Nick, no?
Yeah, I'm not denying that.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't the question, though. I mean, the question was like, what?
Well, yeah, you're jaded
most...
in your selection of him.
Right, like I was like, listen, I mean, when I was playing, like I would keep up with all the sports, but my focus was always my job and what I was doing.
Right, but if you're doing sports radio in Dallas, Texas, you remember Carmelo Anthony as a member of the Denver Nuggets, right?
Yeah, but I think because, I mean, dude, you see what the Knicks does to this, to sports talk radio here.
Yeah, it gets it frenetic is what it does.
Right, and then the second you mentioned, like we would do shows, you mentioned Carmelo's name. Like the phone lines would in 5 seconds be lit up.
Well, I almost feel like he like there's a little bit of Julius Randle there. Like people, they love him, but they hate him too. Like there was a lot of Knicks fans that just couldn't stand Carmelo Anthony for some reason.
Yeah, I think he was polarizing, and there was a lot of people that, like, there was a lot of people too that would just, I mean, they would fiercely defend him. Like if you were critical, you would get, like, there were people that would call in and they would just attack you.
Yeah, just anything negative you would say. And just the flip side, there were people that no matter, he could score 44 and they would find the negative in that game. All right, so we have it ready to go. It's kind of a two-part video audio combination that we've gotten. First part, looking back on his NBA career.
I remember the days when I had nothing, just a ball on the court and a dream of something more. But basketball was my outlet. My purpose was strong, my communities, the cities I represented with pride, and the fans that supported me along the way. I am forever grateful for those people and places, because they made me, Carmelo Anthony. But now the time has come for me to say goodbye, to the court where I made my name, to the game that gave me purpose and pride. But this bittersweet goodbye to the NBA, I'm excited about what the future holds for me.
Remember, he's only 39 years old, so he's got a lot of future on the horizon. Second part of this message is his legacy, which he kind of closes to a message with his son.
When people ask what I believe my legacy is, it's not my feats on the court that come to mind, nor the awards or praise, because my story has always been more than basketball. My legacy, my son, it's in you. I will forever continue through you, because the time has come for you to carry this torch. So, Kai, chase your dreams. Let nothing hold you back. Let nothing intervene. My legacy, now and forever, lives on through you. Exist in my space, and I'll always be proud of all that you do. Peace.
That was nice.
That was very nice.
Yeah, it was emotional. That was nice. Anybody that's a parent can totally appreciate and respect, and kind of, I imagine a lot of people heard that and kind of became emotional. That was really nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. And listen, great career. Like you mentioned, only 39, lots of life to live, but I mean, 8 seasons in Denver, 7 seasons with the Knicks. He won the scoring title with the Knicks. It's just, I think we all hope that, you know, there was going to be a championship.
Of course that's what you hoped. I don't know that they built a team around him that could have won a championship, but of course that's what you hoped. That was a LeBron draft, right?
Yeah.
And LeBron, D-Wade.
And you remember who went second to that draft?
That was the big suit draft. Everyone was wearing big...
You remember who went second in that draft?
I do.
Baggy suits.
Darko Milicic.
Look at you.
Well, yeah, they just did it. Didn't they do a special? I think they just did a special on him not too long ago that I saw. On where he was, what he was up to.
Like he's doing something, I don't even remember what it was, but something like important overseas, isn't he?
Yeah, they put it, like, wasn't he on horseback at some point? I think he was on horseback at some point.
I don't remember the specifics, but I remember seeing that as well. All right, what a show today. Raymond, you are the number one star, whether you give it to yourself or not. But here you go, three stars.
Today's three stars. Number three.
Oh, you just heard it. Carmelo Anthony announces his retirement from the NBA. I'll always look at Melo as the guy, him and Amari, that embraced the challenge of New York. They actually wanted to come here at a time when nobody really wanted to, and wear that Nick jersey and all that came with it. And, you know, he's looked back on a lot more fondly than he was during his time here. I hope that... it does. Julius Randle's not quite Carmelo Anthony, but I hope that it doesn't.
His biggest problem was an issue with some people was that he forced his way out of Denver, so we had to trade for him.
Everybody does that now.
Exactly. The whole league does that, so how hard, you know?
Number two.
That's right. That's true. Dave Rothenberg again.
Give me all your money!
Just zingers and the contest-winning line.
You know what? I speak with my hands. They're visual weapons is what they are.
Listener retention is going to be very important in these coming days and weeks, so please pay attention, everybody.
Number one.
No, I'm not giving it to myself. I'm giving it to RJ because the guy's battling COVID and he's dealing with everything back home, and he can't say a word when you guys take your little shots at him. So RJ's getting
my number. It works out beautifully for us, doesn't it?
I don't agree with that. I don't like it.
That there's nothing he can say. And, of course, the guy's got COVID and his hair is still impeccable.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's perfectly coiffed right now.
Perfectly coiffed is right. All right, there you have it. We'll do it again tomorrow. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg.
Feel better, RJ.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Goodbye! Goodbye!
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.